When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We are rocking and rolling here till 8 p.m. Got Jeff Nowak, St. Sideline Reporter, on the line now. After him, we'll be talking some Pels with credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell. Jeff, happy to have you always on the show. And looking at the Saints injury report today, no surprise, obviously, with Derek Carr being out. But I think a lot of Saints fans kind of held their breath a bit when you saw that Alvin Kamara was not practicing. The good news, at least it was just an illness, and he's expected to be back in the mix tomorrow.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything significant for Alvin. Hey, it was cold out there. Maybe it's got something. But, the only big question this week, obviously DeMarco Jackson got hurt during that game, went out. We'll see how he goes. But you have players that can fill in for DeMarco on special teams. Not going to be a huge issue. But Derek Carr, still in concussion protocol. Darren Rizzi said today that it's not a setback. He hasn't had any setbacks in the protocol. He's working his way through it. And it's going to be a question of whether he can get back on the field, how he is able to function on the field when he does get back on the field. But right now it's Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler. They split reps today. We don't know exactly how those reps were split. Darren Rizzi said it would be fair to call it a competition in terms of, you know, how they perform this week in practice is going to factor into who gets the nod as the starting quarterback, whether it's gamesmanship, whether they actually aren't leaning one way or another right now. It's tough to say for sure, but that's going to be something we have to watch all week.
Looking at the Commanders injury report, I want to ask you here something I've never seen before since covering the NFL. And listed the last person on their injury list, Andrew Wiley, the tackle. It says injury is game day CPE. And I'm guessing that means concussion protocol elevation, but I was just perplexed by that and was wondering if you knew if that's correct or am I tripping?
It's concussion protocol something. I don't know the exact acronym we're talking about, but I think what's going on is, so Andrew Wiley went into the concussion protocol ahead of the bye week. He was in the concussion protocol for week 13, and my guess is he's basically cleared the concussion protocol.
Right, because he was full of practice.
Yeah, so I think that's just their way of saying he's cleared the concussion protocol, but he has to be listed as something. Either way, that's what it is. It's just a strange way to designate that he's in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, it was definitely, like I said, it was puzzling to see that.
The first thing I got the injury report on my phone. I was like, what does that even mean? And asked the communications guy, and he was like, yeah, it just means he's in the concussion protocol. But I think that's what it is, because they're in the bye week. He cleared, like, you can't technically clear it, but he probably went through all the steps and was cleared by the independent neurologist or whatever. So I'd expect him to play.
Yeah, you learn something every day, I guess, like they say. Looking at this black and gold bunch as they get ready for a Week 15 matchup against the Commanders, the running back situation, we talked a little, obviously, Alvin Kamara dealing with the illness right now, but a bright spot last week was seeing the return of Kendra Miller, hoping he can continue to build on that performance, because obviously this team needs any playmaker they can get at this point, but he's someone that you've seen the talent, you see a different kind of energy when he's on the field. Obviously, he's very rested right now, and just hoping he can be more of a factor in this offense going forward, especially, like I said, this game against the Commanders, they're going to need a ton of help, whoever's that quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing for Kendra, and obviously it's great that he had that debut with the touchdown and a lot of nice moments. There's at least three or four runs that were impressive. He generated three or four more yards probably than you might have thought were there, and that's what he's able to do. He's kind of a dirty work runner. He'll find gaps that might not exist, you know, and that's important for a team to have, right? But it's tough because you can't really say, okay, yeah, he's where we need him to be, because his issue has been availability. And what I need to see from him over the final four games is four games, right? Like, I need to see him be available and to stack positive performances together. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, guys get hurt. You can roll an ankle. You could do whatever at any point, and it's not really your fault. But it'll build a lot of confidence going into the offseason, whatever that looks like. If he can get through the rest of the season and just stack some quality games together. I think the touch distribution was like 17 to 10. Alvin got 17 carries. Kendra got 10. They both got some targets in the passing game. I would expect that to be the ideal, you know, probably pretty close to 2-1 Alvin to Kendra, but he'll be the pretty clear cut number two. Jamal Williams will work in as makes sense. But no, I think that's a good start for him. Definitely kind of get the rust off. You know, one of the things I asked him after the game was, you know, if it felt good to just get hit. Because, you know, when you haven't been out there for a while, and he hadn't been out there since week 8, he missed the first 7 games or 6 games of the season. You know, I think it takes a little while to kind of get your legs under you. And he said basically there was a play where he was targeted. He didn't even catch the ball, but he got hit in the back of the head. And he was like, all right, I'm back. I'm in the game now. Hopefully I have high hopes. I'm hoping that at least one or two of these games, you can see a big performance from him where he kind of is the hot hand and you keep feeding him. Cause you can see the talent. Like, that's something Darren Ridley said. It's true. When you see him out there, it doesn't take, I think anyone who kind of understands what they're watching will be like, that's a talented football player. Like, you can just see him do stuff that is like, okay, this is what good football players do. And you just, you know, you're rooting for him because, you know, anytime you have a young player who's been dealing with injuries, it can be very frustrating, and you don't want to be like, oh, it's a bust, right? You're like, you have to turn it around at some point. And this feels like a good time for Kendra to do that.
Okay, well, on the other side, Jeff, I'm looking at Jaden Daniels. A big issue that I think the Saints will have won't be his passing game. I think it'll be his running game. We're talking about a Saints defense that, yeah, they've done a lot better this year on stopping scrambling quarterbacks, but Bo Nix dropped 75 on you. Drew Locke dropped 59 last week, and it probably would have been more had he not ran sideways that one play. Jaden Daniels is going to drop a crap ton on us. What are you expecting? How can we stop that? How can we curb that? How can we lessen it if it's going to happen at all?
Yeah, I talked to Tyrann Mathieu about this today, and a lot of it, you know, it's you can't change what you're doing. Like, you have a scheme, and you kind of have to run your stuff. right? But you have to be very disciplined. You have to make sure he doesn't stretch things out to the edge of the field and find that seam. Because that's where Drew Lock's rushing yards came from. They weren't designed runs. They were, okay, he's scrambling, trying to throw. And then, you know, you're in man-to-man coverage and you're running downfield. So, it can be tough. And, you know, I think it's, you know, the running part is an issue. And that's what makes defending the pass more difficult. But he's also completing 70% of his passes this year. And that's where Jaden Daniels becomes very difficult to play, because he's not just a threat to run. He also has an elite arm talent and receivers who can beat you downfield. Terry McLaurin's having a great year. They lost Noah Brown to a kidney injury.
That was
another one that stood out
in the injury report.
Yeah, and so he's not going to be out there. They did. They signed KJ Osborne. They claimed him off waivers, so there's a chance he gets out there. But no, I mean, it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck, right? Like, you got to tackle at the edges of the field. You can't miss tackles at the edges of the field. He's going to get some yards. Like, you're not going to be able to shut him down completely, but you have to contain it, and you have to do that on the money downs, right? Like, where it will become an issue is not, oh, it's first down, he runs for 10 yards, whatever. It's going to happen. You live with it. It's going to be the third and 12s where you shut everything down and he's able to just extend, and then run for a first down, because those are backbreakers for a defense. Third and long has to be the get-off-the-field downs. And when those turn into, with a mobile quarterback, you're defending, you've got everyone covered up, and then he just runs for 13 on third and 12. You know, those are the plays that turn what would be a successful defensive drive into a, now we're exhausted, now we've been on the field all half, now they're putting points up when we should have been able to get off the field. So I think that's going to be the story of the game. If you can get off the field on third down, regardless of how you do it, you're going to give yourself a chance. If the Commanders are just constantly just executing 7, 10, 15 play scoring drives, you're going to lose.
No, I'm looking at it, and I'm right there with you. We had Brad Evans on earlier from BetMGM, and he was talking about how the line for his yards over under is set at like 40. He averages 45 a game. He's probably going to go over. He actually, as I'm looking right now, he has 20 less yards per game on average than Brian Robinson Jr., but he has the same amount of first downs at 36. So, stop him as much as you can. It's not going to be the end of the world if he does run for a crap ton, but, you know, keep him in line a little bit, Steve.
For me, everyone's, you know, talking about, obviously, a Marshawn Lattimore revenge game. We know he's a full go of practice today. Looks to be on track to be coming back to the Superdome for this matchup on Sunday. But on the Saints side of the ball, defensive end Chase Young was the second overall pick in 2020 by this Washington squad. Hopefully, he can dial up some more of those pressures against Jaden Daniels and the rest of this squad, because he's been a big piece, I feel like, in this defense. The last couple of weeks has really started to turn things on. Hasn't obviously gotten a ton of sacks, but at least those pressures has been there to speed up the clock in the quarterback's head. Obviously, containing Jaden Daniels, though, is another issue.
Yeah, that's been my issue with the defensive line, is not necessarily generating pressure. It's kind of hemming the quarterback in and not letting them escape that pressure. And that's where, you know, Drew Lock runs for 59 yards. It's not because he's this incredibly mobile quarterback. He's a good athlete. But it's because, you know, you get upfield and then you allow lanes, and then you get kind of rush by him and he can escape out the backside. And that happens a little bit too much. But no, I agree with that. I think Chase, you know, 3.5 sacks, you'd love that number to be higher. He didn't get a sack in that game, and it's not for lack of being in range to get a sack. And that's kind of, you know, it's tough because you don't want to say, oh, well, the sacks don't matter. But if you do everything and blow up a play and the guy gets the ball off and it's a dead play, it's still a successful pass rush. And there was, you know, I went through the film, most of the film this morning. I haven't gotten completely through it yet. But, you know, there was at least 3 or 4 plays in the first half alone where it felt like, okay, this play was blown up. Like, this had no chance of succeeding. And all that happened was Drew Lock was able to just flip it into the dirt and avoid a sack. But there was no chance that the play got completed or the pass got completed. So, like, you almost need a stat for that, because sometimes pressures are misleading. You can have a pressure, but if he completes it for 30 yards down the field, the pressure didn't really do much, right? So that's why the pressure number itself is tough to gauge of, like, okay, how effective are you being? In that game, you know, Drew Lock was on his back constantly. But no, it is. I think it is going to be a motivated Chase Young in this game to kind of get back, not to get back at his former team, but You know, this is something I talked to Tyron about. He's been in this situation multiple times where he's gone back and faced a former team. For him, it's interesting because I don't think it's ever happened where the next season after leaving, he's gone back and played that team. It always seems to be like 1 or 2 years later. So if there's any animosity over that departure, it's a little softer. With a Marshawn Lattimore, literally his first game played for Washington is against the team that traded him because he's been out for the last, four games? And it just so happens that his first start for his new team is going to be in the building where he played all of his home games for the first 6 years of his career, 7 years of his career. So that's going to be kind of fascinating to watch and see how much he's used. Does he have a full allotment of reps? Do they have him on a snap count? But you can imagine he's going to want to put together a good showing in that game. And I'm sure, you know, you'd like to say, hey, the Saints wide receivers are going to love to go out there and kind of get one on him. But I mean, how many of the Saints wide receivers were actually even teammates with Marshawn Lattimore when he was here? Right? My MVS, they kind of passed like ships in the night. Kevin Austin Jr. was on the practice squad. Dante Pettis, I mean, they didn't really have any interaction. So there isn't really, even the young quarterbacks, it's not like they've spent a ton of time going against them in practice. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to go the same way. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of players on the Saints offense that are like, oh, let's go after Marshawn. But it's going to be, if he gets a couple interceptions in that game or makes a few big plays, he's going to definitely let him hear it.
Always appreciate you, Jeff. Be talking to you tomorrow morning when we start recording the Inside Black and Gold podcast. You can check out Jeff's work, WWL.com. He's got the latest injury report up and even more on the Black and Gold. Thanks again and have a great evening, man.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk, Black and Gold taking on the Washington Commanders, a noon start in the Caesars Superdome. Obviously, you can hear that WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app on Sunday. When we get back, talking to Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Pelly's got a matchup tomorrow night against the Sacramento Kings. They've been off since Sunday. What have the Pels been up to? We'll find out right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Welcome back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Back into Sports Talk here on this Wednesday, December the 11th, and we haven't seen the Pelicans play a game since it was Sunday. Sunday in San Antonio, but tomorrow night they'll be back in action against Sacramento, helping us break it all down. One of our favorites, NBA writers, Ali Cosell, joining us now. How you doing today, Ali?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing well. And you're right. It's fun that they've had a break because they needed it, right?
Oh, for sure. And unfortunately, obviously, we haven't gotten any new injury updates on a Zion Williamson or a Brandon Ingram. Obviously, they're going to be out a little bit longer. But I did see at practice today, at least Jordan Hawkins was speaking. So is that a positive sign? He could be close to returning. I know he won't be back tomorrow.
Yeah, he's actually, even though we spoke to him, he's still kind of iffy.
Okay.
Right? He's got a specific back issue that has to deal with. It's called an annular fissure. And what that is basically his back pain originates from his vertebrae actually cracking on the inside, right? So that's not a good thing, right? It can lead to disc degeneration and all sorts of problems. So not sure how it happened, but he told us he's always had back problems in his life. And it sounds like it's not just from falling and hitting your back, right, on the ground or anything like that. So he says he's still feeling a little bit of pain. So I think he's still going to be out, you know, for the foreseeable future, maybe for at least a couple of weeks, I'm thinking.
Definitely unfortunate news for the Hawk. Seeing some of the trade rumors going around, obviously a bunch going with the New Orleans Pelicans listed. Saw one obviously listed CJ McCollum and even a Herb Jones as teams calling and inquiring about them. And I got to tell you, between me, Cullen, and Charlie here, we're all ready to hang up on the phone whoever's calling for Herb.
Herb Jones is not going to get traded. Yeah, of course.
Amen
if you're
to
another
that.
Team. Right, Steve? I mean, look, the Pelicans, he was asked around before the trade deadline over the summer by other teams last season and even in a prior season, too. So teams obviously know he's stellar, right, defensively. He's worth his weight in gold, and especially on the contract he's on, right? I mean, he's making, what, I think $12 million or so for the next, 2 to 3 years, right, 2.5 more years. But he's a steal at that price. And so no wonder teams are calling. But again, Pelicans are not going to trade him. They're not going into any kind of rebound. And even Brandon Ingram put it best. He's the heart and soul. There's just no way they're going to give up Herb Jones.
Looking at the rumors around CJ McCollum, that one seems to make a little more sense for a team that thinks they're going to be a playoff contender or a title contender to add that kind of veteran piece to their roster. But I don't know. Would he want to leave New Orleans?
Yeah, so obviously Brandon Ingram's been in the trade rumors since going back this summer, and he's going to continue to stay in them. But yeah, CJ McCollum, he's the interesting one. And he was the one that I posited this last summer that the Pelicans might trade and instead keep Brandon Ingram by signing him to an extension. So far, that's still on the table. And if you look, the market is so depressed for Brandon right now, and his market value is dropping, that I think the Pelicans have a decent chance of re-signing him if they end up being the highest bidder. Right. And there's a good chance of that happening because most teams this summer are not going to have the cap space or even create enough space where they can do a sign and trade with the Pelicans to bring him in. So that kind of leaves CJ McCollum. Right. I mean, they're going to have to deal somebody. We know that they're going to lose salaries one way or another because currently the Pelicans are in a tax. So CJ McCollum makes just about as sense as really anybody on the roster.
So
and you're right. He's what, 33? Got a year and a half left, so this year and next season. The problem is, it's his salary, Steve.
Yeah.
He's making $33 million this year, $33 million next year. So contenders, they're either in the first apron, or let's say most contenders, they're in the first apron and the second apron, so trading for him is really hard to downright and flat out impossible, by the way the rules and this new CBA is structured. So I'm curious, will some team meet the asking price? I'm not sure, right? Be able to meet, I should say, those rules and skirt around that CBA and make a deal and offer the Pelicans something in return. Because say what, they're probably happy keeping him, right? I think there's a reason why this team still hasn't gone off the rails, right? The locker room and such from what we've been hearing. And it's because of veterans like CJ McCollum, right? They haven't given up on the season. DeJounte Murray, those types. So I know that David Griffin would like to probably keep that type of presence, but push come to shove, if they need to deal somebody, yeah, I think CJ might be the one to go because he's making a little bit less than B.I., and of course you don't have to re-sign him, right? He's still got, like I said, a contract for next year. So where B.I., you've got to worry about a next contract. And I know that's scaring a lot of teams right now.
Well, what scares me is Brandon Ingram changing and now being with Clutch Sports, but you still think there's a chance he could stay here and be extended?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think he switched agencies based on what I've been hearing because it's kind of a Hail Mary for him. Pelicans offered him an extension a couple summers ago, right? Right before he went to the World Cup and had that awful showing. And, of course, last season was his worst season here in the New Orleans Pelicans uniform. So ever since that time, he's just been kind of, you know, like I said, playing worse, therefore decreasing his market value and hurting himself. So a couple of years ago, I heard he was offered close to the max money, right? So something along the lines of $50 million per season. Turned it down. Probably at the time, he wanted max money, right? I remember him saying he thinks of him as an all-NBA type of player, and that's kind of the season he was going for. But obviously, he didn't make it, didn't even average 21 points per game. Then this last offseason, I heard the Pelicans again offered him extension money, basically making a little bit more money than what he is now. So factoring inflation, he would roughly be on the same contract he is on this current one in terms of making the same amount of money. Again, he turned that down. So like I said, I've got a feeling that, again, he's probably been talking to the Pelicans front office and the offers keep dropping. So he's not happy, changed representation. Now we know there's nobody that plays more hardball than Rich Paul, right? Clutch Sports. He's the one that forced Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I don't foresee anything similar, right, regarding Brandon Ingram, because first of all, there's no market for him. I know Shams called it a robust market.
Right.
But that's simply just not true, right, guys? So I don't know how that situation is going to play out. But the reason why I think the Pelicans might re-sign him, because like I said, if you can get him for, say, maybe $25 to $30 million per season, at least for a couple of years, it probably makes sense because he's a quality player, right? And that's a tradable contract. That's where other teams don't even have that much money to give him right now.
Ollie, I want to ask two questions. I'll start with the first one that's on my mind. DeJounte Murray, do you believe he is finally starting to come into his own? The team has 25 games under the belt. He only has 8. But have you seen the improvement in the last couple of games? I have. I want to know if you agree, if you disagree. And if so, like, you know, is he on the right track to being he doesn't need to be the point scorer, but he does want to. And he said this, he wants to be the facilitator. He wants the offense to kind of run through him. He wants to set people up to do the things that they do best, hopefully with B.I. and Zion. We haven't seen the big three yet. Hopefully we will. But he's starting to come into his own as this leader, as this kind of setting pace for the whole team.
Oh, without a doubt. Look, over the last four games, Pelicans are averaging over, I want to say about 116 points per game. They're shooting more than 38 three-point shots per game. Right? These are all the things that they wanted to do all season, but they really weren't able to. But now they've suddenly flipped the switch. And even with Brandon Ingram going down, you still see him getting up the threes. They're still scoring points. So that's something, like I said, they weren't doing when they were hurt. But because DeJounte's back, there's much greater pace. You look, they're getting out in the fast break. And that's the thing with this team. It's built to run, right? I mean, you look at it. There's no monsters out there, right? No traditional centers and such. And they're kind of on the smallest stature, right? So they have to run, right, to get an advantage. So I'm seeing DeJounte doing just that. So that's what gives you hope, right? You're kind of seeing the way they want to play. Now you're going to see, which we've seen, right? Trey Murphy's now shooting and making more threes. Jay McCollum seemingly hasn't had a hiccup since he's come back. And, of course, the other guys, right? It seems like they're in better flows. You've got some games where Jeremiah Robinson Earl hits a couple threes. Another time or another game, it's somebody else, right? And I think it all has to do with just having a legitimate point guard out there in DeJounte who can really do it all, right? He can defend, get you a couple steals. I mean, he's averaging, what, two and a half steals per game. And then, of course, the assists. Yeah, it's the playmaking. That's why he was brought here to New Orleans, and he's definitely doing it.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was looking at the points. If this Spurs game that we had on Sunday, yes, we lost, you know, 5 points, 116 to 121. It was a nail biter. We went on a hell of a run come late, couldn't close it out. But I was very impressed from everybody across the board. Misi put up 18. Herb Jones put up 12. McCollum, 19. Murray, 18. Murphy, 25. Brandon Boston Jr., 17 off the bench. Everybody had a role. And I don't want to entirely attribute that to Murray kind of showing up and lifting everybody up. But this team across the board is finally starting to put things together.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you look, they had a winnable game after that blowout, right, in New York, had a winnable game in Atlanta, right, but couldn't really finish things strongly. Beat a Phoenix Suns team that came in playing hot. OKC Thunder, yeah, first half was bad, but they finished that game strongly. Good second half. And then you're right, it was a really good effort against the Spurs to where, you know, they were, what, down 10, went on a 13-0 run, something along those lines, grab a lead, but that last minute just didn't go their way. And that's the biggest reason. It's because DeJounte's back, because these guys finally have kind of an on-the-court leader. And that was the issue last year, right? I mean, Brandon Ingram, Zion, when they did play, they still weren't able to really just, you know, run an offense like a Luka Doncic, like some of these other stalwarts around the league. And CJ McCollum, as we've seen, right, he's just not a point guard. So DeJounte Murray made all the sense. That's why they had to let go of Dyson Daniels. But I think he's here for the long haul, and I think Pelicans fans, they're going to love him. I love the way he talks. He just has ownership of everything, right, that goes good or bad. And that's something that I think he can pass along, right, to especially Zion Williamson if he ends up staying here in New Orleans for the longer haul too.
Yeah, it's something about the way Murray speaks. He kind of sucks you in, and you keep on wanting to listen to what he's saying. Definitely like the fact the team's gotten a break to rest up, heal, whatever you want to say. But I'm definitely missing some Pels basketball. Anxious to see them in action tomorrow night, hosting a Sacramento team, Kings team, that's got me scratching my head. I know they've, you know, kind of heated up a little bit, won three of their last four, two in a row. But they can put up points. But what's been their issue this year, Ali? I know they're 12-13 right now. And I thought they'd be a lot better this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. But the thing is, their offense isn't as flying as high as it was the previous year and a half. And when you add a DeMar DeRozan, right, that's kind of going to slow you down because he likes to have the ball in his hands, doesn't shoot threes, gets to the free throw line. So, again, that's all these things that will slow a game down. And I honestly wondered about that move that they made in bringing him in over the summer because De'Aaron Fox likes to play hot. Sabonis, he likes to be the facilitator at the top of the key where he finds the shooters, right? A Malik Monk cutting here, Kevin Huerter going the other way and such. And it's also kind of minimized Keegan Murray. So I think their team honestly kind of stayed in flux trying to figure out who they are because they've never been a good defensive team. And if they're not going to be one of the top, you know, 3 to 5 offenses, which you're not anymore, well, that's why I think you see a media record or a record from them now. And I don't know if that's going to change until they make a personnel move.
Ali, always appreciate your time. Thank you, and hopefully we get one in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night.
Yes, Steve. Hey, look, if there's something to look forward to, it's the fact that the Pelicans owned the Kings last year, right? Faced them 6 times, won a perfect 6-0.
Let's make it 6-0, baby.
I hear you.
Thanks, Ali. Appreciate it. That was Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pelicans. Action in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night. 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off right here on WWL 870 AM. We are taking a break and be right back with more right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, we talked earlier to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. He caught up with Tyrann Mathieu in the Saints locker room today. Wanted to get to that audio as he gets ready to face former LSU Tiger Jaden Daniels. And here's Tyrann Mathieu.
I mean, he's everything as advertised. I mean, obviously, you know, having watched him a bunch, you know, playing for LSU, I mean, just to see his growth and kind of who he's become, you know, as a quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he's a young kid, but he looks like he has command of the offense. And you know, anytime you, you know, playing against a guy that can, you know, use his legs and arms, I think all those guys are always a challenge. So, yeah, it's going to take all of us this week.
How big of a fan of him are you? I mean, this week, obviously.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of him. You know, I think everything he kind of done for LSU and, you know, just the way he played and, you know, how he grew from year one at LSU to year two. I mean, that's what you look for. That's what you hope for. So, but yeah, I've heard a lot of great stories about him. You know, first guy in, last guy to leave. Just a solid young man that was raised right. And, you know, obviously, he's a damn good athlete, too.
What's it like for a guy like that went to LSU and he gets a chance to come back and play in Louisiana and in the Dome?
Well, I think they realize that, you know, people love him, you know. So I think, you know, him coming back, you know, he'll have some fans, you know, in the building. I think, you know, obviously we got to try to, you know, not let that become, you know, a celebration. You know what I mean? So it'll be fun. It'll be fun for sure.
How excited are you to get a chance to see Marshawn again?
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I saw he was full participant, you know, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be ready for this one, no doubt about it.
What are some of the keys to stopping a guy like Jaden who wants to run around and, you know, make plays with his legs?
Yeah, I think you guys have to do a great job of, you know, just kind of building a wall, you know, setting good edges. You know, even when he does run, you want to make him kind of cut back to the teeth of the defense to where everybody is. So, because he's one of those guys, man, once he gets on the edge, you know, he got enough speed where he can run past everybody in his locker room. And so, you know, I think everybody just kind of doing their jobs, you know, setting good edges and, you know, just that effort, that hustle to the ball.
Did you get to know him very well in the last 2 years at LSU?
I mean, I've spoke to him, you know, maybe a handful of times. I'll probably say we're good friends, not close friends. But, you know, like I said, from afar, man, just proud of him. You know, the way he's kind of grew and what he became at LSU. Really kind of going from just a good quarterback to, like, one of the best ever. You know what I mean? So just happy for him and really all his success.
I know last couple of years getting to know Marshawn, did you feel like there was a sense that maybe he needed kind of a change of scenery just based on frustration with injuries, not playing as much? Do you think that maybe this is probably, you know, good for him that he's got a new place?
I don't really want to speak for him. I speak for myself. You know, I remember when I was in Arizona, we won a lot of games in Arizona, almost made it to the Super Bowl. I made a lot of plays. But injuries, that's what was kind of holding me back. And I think sometimes you need a fresh start, as a player. It's not really no love lost. It's just, sometimes you just need a change of scenery. And I'm hoping he has that. I'm hoping he's happy. But, we miss him. We miss him down here.
It's kind of weird that if he does make his debut as expected, it's in the Superdome against the Saints. I mean,
yeah, that'd be crazy.
First game he's played since.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, part of me just want to go at him all game. And then part of me is like, nah, don't let him make no plays. You know what I mean? Keep it a quiet game for him.
That was Saints safety Tyrann Mathieu in the locker room today talking about Jaden Daniels coming to visit the Caesars Superdome, and obviously right at the end there, mentioning the return of Marshawn Lattimore, how the team misses him, but hey, man, he's on the other side of the ball come this game, and unfortunately, Marshawn and Tyrann can't match up against each other on the field.
It'll be a good day.
Should be good. Unfortunately, there's no really huge, big targets that are, for Marshawn to really match up against. We're going to take a break here and wrap things up when we get back here on Sports Talk. So stay tuned on WWL. Want to remind everybody, join me and Mike D'Atelier tomorrow. Treasure Chest Casino, Sports Talk 4-7. Latest news from Saints practice and all about the black and gold. Getting ready for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Plus, hear from USA Today, NFL and college football righty Chrissy Friday. And also, Times Picayune sports columnist Jeff Duncan. Followed by Thursday Night Football, kicking off the week, San Fran hosting the LA Rams right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. For Cullen Steele, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great evening, everyone, and talk to you tomorrow night.